I'd like to continue seamlessly from what River just spoke about. That's how it is. I think that's how you ended. That's how it is. And to remind ourselves what Bernard also started sharing in his instructions yesterday. And these are my words from what I took. Practicing being with things as they are. Being with things as they are. And as River was just saying, this is how it is. It might not be how we want it to be or how we would prefer it to be or whatever the it is. But really, can we consider our practice and our presence here as the willingness, at the very least, to open to recognizing and appreciating how it is, being with things as they are. And of course, as I was saying yesterday, the Buddha was very clear in describing how things are. They arise, they are present, they change, become otherwise, and they dissolve, they cease to be. All phenomena, thoughts, feelings, sensations, experiences, situations, body, heart, state, minds, flowers, birds, butterflies, the whole spectrum of phenomena. And that, of course, is easier and pleasant at some times, and that's more challenging, more difficult, more despairing-making, more potentially overwhelming at other times. And that will also, in the course of a retreat, regardless of how long we have practiced, how many retreats we've sat, that will be, I'm sure, the experience of most of us, certainly in my own experience. There are times when it's easier and more spacious to be with things as they are, and there are times where it feels more contracted to be with things as they are. And so a few comments this morning in terms of what might offer some support, some ideas how we can meet, especially those times when it's going inside body, heart, and mind. And on a very concrete level, I'd like to start with being with things as they are, whether we're at home, whether we're here at Gaia House, especially those situations where we are not on the cushion. On the cushion sometimes, whether we're sitting, lying, standing, sometimes it feels a little bit more contained to be with things as they are, not necessarily inwardly, but outwardly. There's a container that we have created in the hall and hopefully also at home. A container has been created where there is a certain measure of support in terms of stillness and steadiness and friendliness and so on, formally in our sitting practice. And what happens in those periods in between the formal sitting, when we get up, when we attend to the chores at home, walking the dog or somebody ringing the doorbell or having to do our working meditation, standing at the queue and so on here at Gaia House, can we bring those same qualities of steadiness, of presence, of focus to that activity in the way that I was talking earlier about the potential seamlessness of practice on the cushion and off the cushion, and to notice there again what is arising. What is arising? How is the tendency? How is the inclination? What is it that I want to do? How is it that I want to respond to that which has arisen? Am I wanting to say, oh, this is so nice, this is wonderful? Am I doing the grasping? Am I doing the, oh, this is really hard, this is really annoying? Am I doing the pushing away? Right there and then, in the queue, in the neighbor's dog barking furiously at home. Ah, there is a moment. Ah, grasping, aversion, akusala mula, unwholesome states of heart, body, mind. Certainly I know when I kind of start feeling really irritated or contracted, it's not a wholesome state of feeling. It's not a kind of feeling. It's quite the opposite. It's like everything does this. Ah, what does it need to do? A little bit of that, creating space, minding the gap. And I feel when I do that, when I kind of find myself either grasping or pushing away, I'm not actually available to myself in that spacious way, because I've let myself be kind of sabotaged, hijacked, contracted around something which is not true, which is not real, which is not how things are. They are a fabrication of mind, they are a fabrication of heart that either grasps or pushes away. And so right there and then, the potential of doing it differently, especially when we find ourselves pushing against or resisting. Is it possible to notice that? Ah, Katrin, what is that doing to body, heart and mind? Is that opening, is that releasing, is that softening, or is it actually moving in the opposite direction? It also works the other way. Sometimes we find ourselves, whether that's at home, whether that's in the hall, in the house, we might be aware that somebody might be having a hard time. We might be aware of a person next to us, in front of us, behind us, kind of really struggling, or we seem to think, or we assume that they are struggling. And how is it that we respond to that? Kind of the perceived, or in some cases, assumed suffering or despair of an other. Noticing what it is that we do with that. Do we kind of want to make it better? Do we want to take it on? Do we want to kind of engage and support? Which, of course, is a beautiful, compassionate, natural response to kind of reach out and say, how can I help, on the one hand? Or is it the opposite movement? Is it the movement saying, oh gosh, no, that person again, and finding ourselves pushing against and resisting? And there again, in both of those situations, the movement is outward, it's not directed inward, it's outward. At the same time, in that movement outward, whether we're wanting to rush and support and kind of make ourselves available and take it on, or whether we're wanting to kind of push away from and resist, we are not available to ourselves in that moment. We are not available for ourselves to generate a sense of steadiness and stillness and kindness, friendliness, that it might take to support holding the space for an other. If we lose ourselves in our reactivity, whether it's towards or away, then we actually are not available to opening to that space where a natural and a spontaneous movement of compassion and friendliness and kindliness for self and other can be there. So just be aware of that in the course of the next few days, whether you're at home with others, living with your families, or whether you're here in the house, just noticing what happens, and whether that in fact is feeding a sense of softening and opening, gradually widening, or is it actually into the opposite movement. And there is a choice we have if we pay attention to minding the gap and creating a space in which we can choose to do it differently. I'm reminded of something that Joseph Goldstein says, an American insight meditation teacher. And he says, it's not so important what we grasp, it's that we grasp. So for me, and grasping for me is both sides of the coin, is the grasping, it's kind of doing that, and it's the pushing away. It's not so much what the content of what it is that we hold on to or push away. It's the mere movement of either doing this or that. And within that, can we create some space to do it differently? So immediately noticing, pleasant, unpleasant, okay, here we go again. And then coming back to that midpoint, a place of potential steadiness and stillness, the pivot of a seesaw, around which movement can also take place, a sense of opening, a sense of potential movement, rather than finding ourselves on one end of the scale, one end of the seesaw, where we will get stuck, where we will get stuck. The other thing on a concrete level, on a practical level, being with things as they are, is the invitation to truly look at what is there, to truly allow things to arise spontaneously and naturally, observing, them changing, becoming otherwise and ceasing, and not creating or going in search of that which is not there. Not feeling, oh, I haven't got intense feelings, oh gosh, I haven't got thoughts that are overwhelming, or I haven't got preoccupying thoughts or feelings, there must be something wrong. No, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Can we open into, can we be aware of, can we be awake to those moments when there is the not wholesome, as I was talking about yesterday, when there are those moments when there is a bit of steadiness, a bit of peacefulness, a bit of spaciousness, not to have to create vrrr in the heart, body, mind. Ah, there is a still moment. Because guess what? That too will change, become otherwise, and cease to be. So while it's there, can we enjoy? Can we settle into? Those are the moments where we generate trust. Those are the moments where we really are in touch with the potential, the inner potential freedom, where we begin to trust that potential more and more, whether we do so consciously or unconsciously. Trusting in our potential, trusting in the process, trusting the practice. But that will only happen if we pay attention, if we are aware of those moments. Oh, it's like this. And there again, of course, noticing, I wanted more and I wanted all the time and I felt so easy and it was so spacious yesterday and now there's just this dullness, flatness, or I'm overwhelmed. Ah, noticing there too. That which is more easeful, that which is more pleasant, how do we respond to that? How do we hold it in a way that is light and that allows it also to be conditional, that recognizes that this too shall pass? So something about really allowing ourselves those moments where there is not overwhelm, when there is not despair, when there is not thinking, when there is not feeling. That will change, and sooner or later, thoughts will arise, feelings will arise, sensations will be there as they come and go, as they come and go. Another comment about how to meet and how to be with whatever has arisen would be to bring awareness briefly and lightly to the content of that which has arisen. Although it's not so much the content, but at the same time, we might begin to, over a period of time, recognize our habitual tendencies of thoughts, feelings, and even bodily sensations at times. So, for example, there is a storyline that perhaps we kind of are spinning in our heart mind, or perhaps we are preoccupied with the situation at home or at work, and it's kind of not letting us go. It's something that we might be familiar with. It is something that is known, whether it's more acute or whether it's something that we bring from our history. Oh, it's that again. Oh, here we go again. Oh, Katrin, you are X, Y, Z, fill in the gaps. And sometimes it's a little bit easier to be with that because certainly for me I can say, oh, it's that again. Oh, okay, let's create a little bit of space. Okay, sitting alongside, not pushing away, but just kind of sitting alongside whatever else there is. The breath, embodied experience, contact of the ground underneath, opening the space for that which is familiar and known to be there. In a more spacious way, in a way that it is not overwhelming because I know it, I'm familiar with it. It doesn't feel potentially as threatening or as scary or frightening. Oh, okay, can I be with it in that way? Sometimes there is also something, whether it's familiar or unfamiliar, that feels very light. That feels very, very light. And then we might bring attention to that which has arisen, and perhaps it's an unpleasant or pleasant little something, and we are noticing, oh, this is new. Oh, what is this? What is this? Sometimes labeling it might be useful. Sometimes feeling in the body, what does that feel like in the body? Lightly, not kind of engaging a storyline about it, because it's unfamiliar, because it's new. And if it's light, that's the only word that comes to heart mind at the moment, if it's light, we might also be able to notice, it's there. This is changing. It's feeling different. And then noticing it dissolve. That's an important part of the practice, is to learning to be with things as they are, paying attention to how they arise, they are there, they change and become otherwise. A physical sensation, for example, an itch in the face, and here we are sitting still, an itch in the face, really, really intense physical sensation. And before I know it, the hand is already kind of wanting to scratch away because it's unpleasant. And it's a really interesting practice. I do that quite a lot, noticing when it is that the hand is already up and I haven't even thought about it, those moments when in fact I haven't been present, because it's an automatic reflex almost. It's because I've kind of zoned out. But when I'm actually more zoned in, when I'm more present, body, heart, mind, itch, really irritating. Okay, being with things as they are, staying with it. Martine Batchelor always talks about going, looking deeply into the physical sensation, really zoning in, focusing, and seeing what happens, And sometimes that sensation takes longer to become otherwise and change, and sometimes it's shorter. But guess what? It will change, and it does dissolve. And every time that it does, I feel a little bit chuffed with myself. I feel quite, Katrin, okay, I've done that again. It's possible. And it's not to undermine that. I don't mean to trivialize or underestimate the efficacy of that, because every time I do that with the itch on my face, it develops again the trust, it generates, it feeds that sense of trust. And the more I practice that, the more I can hopefully also bring that same quality of responding to things that are more potentially overwhelming or that are larger than the itch on my face. So it's a really useful practical example of being with things as they are. If it feels possible to stay with, to look into and bring curiosity and interest, here we go again, that itch. Okay, staying with, observing, and it will cease. And there are moments I've also noticed over the years in my practice when I do that, it brings a sense of lightness and, dare I say, joy when it has kind of dissolved. Just that brief moment of not unwholesome, not unpleasant, just for that moment. And then of course something else pops up. So intensity of feelings, thoughts, physical sensation, different intensities. Never just one. Never only or light and fluffy. Kind of really a gradation, the whole spectrum of emotions, thoughts, physical sensations. And we might develop the capacity to respond differently to each one of those. And within that, also the awareness, is this something new? Is this something unfamiliar? Or is this something, here we go again, that old story, that very familiar something that I've been aware of for so long has been with me forever. Can it have space? Can it be there for now? And one of the anecdotes that I personally have always really enjoyed and taken courage from the Buddha's life, and it's an anecdote, no clue how true that is, but throughout the teachings, there are examples of how Buddha speaks being assailed by Mara. By Mara. Mara is the personification, the epitome, or a metaphor of that which obstructs, that which does this to the system, or the devil, to use Stephen Batchelor's words. So basically that which sabotages and stymies that movement. And very often the Buddha would say, Mara, I see you, get thee behind me. Mara, I see you, get thee behind me. Even apparently, so the story goes, on his deathbed, as he lay dying, Mara came and threw at the Buddha whatever there was to throw at the Buddha, apparently. Oh, the Buddha goes, oh, Mara, here you go again, Mara, I see you. Get thee gone, I think the last words were, I don't know, something to that effect. But the message is really to recognize that ability to, okay, yeah, Mara, I see you. Creating space for, placing alongside, get thee behind me, get thee gone, if it needs a more rigorous response. So I feel encouraged by that story because it makes me feel, Buddha too. An ordinary human being like you and I. It's human nature, thoughts, feelings, sensations to arise. It's not that we're trying not to think. It's not that we're trying not to have thoughts. It's not to feel that we don't have feelings. Of course we do. Of course we do. Have a beating heart, a breathing body that responds and is responsive. So it's not that we want to switch all of that off. It's not that we want to suspend all of that. It's how do we engage that activity. Another aspect that we might bring, especially to thoughts, feelings, physical sensations that are new, that are unfamiliar, is to, I think Bernard was mentioning that the other day, bring curiosity, bring a certain interest into that experience. Not in terms of engaging the storyline. Oh, no, why are they saying that? Oh, I remember the email that I sent. And last year we had that conversation. Then you are already gone. You've kind of lost. You've kind of gone, and you're no longer here in this moment. Can we bring a curiosity? What does that feel? Where is that going in the body? And what is it in the service of? Is it in the service of presence, steadiness, stillness, openness? Or is it in the service of everything that does that in the body? So what does that feel like? What is it in the service of? And again, noticing, how do I respond to that? Can I bring a certain measure of energy, like I was saying yesterday, kind of when we're needing to tweak up the effort, the energy, the enthusiasm of the inquiry, the curiosity of the inquiry, the interest in that which has arisen, if it's something unfamiliar. So that is always available to us, to bring a certain measure of curiosity and inquiry into something which is new. If something feels really, really, really overwhelming, as it does for some of us at some time in our practice, of course, both on the cushion, both off the cushion, but here just talking on the cushion, those times when a thought or a feeling is just, it just feels too much, too intense, then there is wisdom to appreciate it for what that is in that time, and then to consciously to decide to do something differently. You might want to open your eyes just to take in a wider perspective, not to look around, but just to open the perspective to be able to hold a little bit that which is other from the potentially overwhelming something. You may want to stand up to change posture. Sometimes that also helps to shift the energy. You might want to place your hands on your head just to open up, again to create space. Or if you really, really, really feel that actually you can't literally hold it, then please feel free to perhaps take a walk instead, a mindful walk, continuation of practice, rather than saying, okay, I'm actually now just going for a walk to the pub instead. That's not the intention. Intention is really to stay with the practice, but to allow yourselves to do something to momentarily distract from that which feels potentially overwhelming. And that does require a certain measure of wise discerning. Wise discerning. Is this really something that feels potentially overwhelming? I've tried this, I've tried that. This is not working, this is not working. Okay, maybe if I open my eyes, maybe if I stand up, and if none of that works really, then you do something that might be a physical distraction and go for a walk or something, or have a glass of water briefly within the continuation of practice. And then also the possibility of noticing when we tend to amplify. That lovely Pali word, papancha, papancha, when we proliferate around a thought, a feeling, a physical sensation, when we amplify, when we exacerbate that which has arisen. Oh, that ache in the knee. Oh, does it mean I'm going to have another knee replacement? And then what am I going to do about the sitting? And then I can't go walking, but I really want to go walk. And then I'm going on and on and on about an ache, a sensation in the knee that is there. Oh gosh, it's not there anymore. And my thoughts are already with the knee replacement and not being able to walk, but actually the physical sensation has dissolved. Noticing our tendency, and sometimes it's interesting to see where do we kind of proliferate and what do we amplify and what don't we? That for me is an interesting question. There are certainly some bits that arise where it's much easier not to amplify, and some bits where the mind, the heart, the body go vrrr, kind of really anywhere but here. So noticing papancha. Am I feeding the particular storyline? Am I exacerbating it and thereby not only sustaining it but amplifying it? Or am I actually responding to it that yes, maybe it needs a wee bit of space, it needs a little bit of a gap, in order to kind of fizzle down, to dissolve, or am I keeping it going? Noticing that tendency. And again, just the encouragement, the invitation for all of us to remember that as human beings, as sentient beings, we feel, we are touched, we touch into, we sense, we think, we feel. There is activity, we are alive, we will have thoughts, we will have feelings, we will have sensations, but they don't always appear or arise in the extreme form, in a kind of a dramatic form. Sometimes they are just quietly, pleasantly there, they come and go, and we don't have to go in search of that which is not there. Once we practice this way of being with things as they are, we might find, just in the course of the day, standing, queuing for the meal, having a lovely cup of tea outside, continuing with our chores at home, just for a moment, also just seeing, how is it that I can be with just whatever has arisen, just with whatever has arisen? Is it possible to hold it with a certain measure of spaciousness and lightness? And within that, also the possibility, and I say this cautiously, the possibility of responding less personally, taking it less personally. Just a little bit of a distance between that sense of responding in a way that perpetuates, that certainly has the potential for solidifying the sense of who we are based on our views and assumptions and judgments and opinions and so on and so on. So creating space both on the cushion and off the cushion with things as they are. Should we give it a go for 10 minutes? Let's just, wherever you are, settle for a moment, allow the words to settle into the ground, already dissolved, and spend a few moments being with things as they are.